This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, December 13th, 2023, The Memorial of St. Lucy, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you go to most ordinariate liturgies, most of the parishes don't do the prayers at the foot of the altar. And if you don't do the prayers at the foot of the altar, you do the penitential rite that comes before communion. Part of that penitential rite is what is affectionately, they technically call the comfortable words of our Lord Jesus Christ, but they're affectionately known throughout the ordinariate and Anglicanism also as the comfy words. We should truly take great comfort. The first set of comfortable words are that gospel passage. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. I like the older versions in English better than the newer. There's a couple things that just don't resonate too, or I should say as profoundly. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Like the older versions that are burdened, and I will refresh you. Jesus does something very active. I will give you rest. I'm not saying that that's bad or anything, but I mean, when you say, I will give you rest, it sounds much more passive. You can come into my house and say, hey, I'm really, really tired. I got an extra bedroom. Go in there and rest. I'm not doing anything for you. Let you use my house. I'm going to give you a rest, but that's about it. I will refresh you. Okay, that's not just resting. That's sitting out resting, but I'm going to do something. I'll bring you food. I'll bring you something to drink. Whatever you might need, I will do this for you. This is that whole refreshing thing. I will refresh you. They are truly comfortable words to know God Almighty himself is the one who does us well. He does the good things for us. And we really appreciate it when it is contrasted with who this one is that's doing good things for us. We say, look at the context. We got three verses from Matthew chapter 11 today, those comfortable words. They come immediately on the heels of Jesus Christ pronouncing the woes against different cities who have not received his message. They have not received him. And he says to Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, thou shalt go down even unto hell. It shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. That's up in your face, conciting them to damnation, to say that it was better. Everybody knows what happened to Sodom. And it's going to be better for them in the day of judgment than it's going to be for you for not accepting me. That could put you on notice, like in the Old Testament, when God was, presenting himself, every time he presented himself in the scary fashion, like at the Mount Sinai, when he gives the Ten Commandments, tell him not to come near the mountain. Oh, heck no, he doesn't have to worry about that one little bit. We're not going to come anywhere near that place. Okay, why? Because it was so scary. God's presence was there. And he wants us to have a well-founded fear of the Lord. However, that well-founded fear of the Lord is for us a contrast in the well-doing that he gives. When you have a friend like that, when you have a friend that can consign to hell, and he starts talking about, come to me, like the mountain, stay away from the mountain. And he goes, yeah, they're going to go to hell and this and that and the other thing. Come unto me, all ye that travail. I don't know. Our hesitancy is well-founded, but it should be a hesitancy that is overshadowed by his invitation. This one who pronounces those woes against all those people in all those cities, he is the one who beckons you to come. Come unto me, all ye that travail, are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. His benevolence and meekness, when it's compared to the woes. This is why I always say, right, I love when things like this happen because I can point out that this, I don't get a kick out of, grace and mercy, justice and righteousness. That's always the presentation of our Lord. Always. Old Testament and New Testament. Yes. Do not trifle with me. I am God. I am God. You're not. I expect something of you. And it would behoove you to do it. Because if you do it, I will do nothing but bless you. I will do nothing but bless you. So this contrast is the message of the gospel. Now, I've been saying this through the Advent time, and we should meditate on this, particularly in Advent. This, the coming judgment, but do how, as I've been pointing out in the preface, we should without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing. Why? Because he calls us to himself. He tells us we don't have anything. Not only do we have nothing to worry about, he is going to refresh us. Come to me. That doesn't mean go to church on Sunday, physically come to me. No, he's talking in the sense of with those three theological virtues that we receive in our baptism. Come to me. Come to me with faith. Have faith that you are in the presence of God, but have faith in the fact that God is meek and benevolent toward you. Come with hope, not a hope as conjecture that the world has. Come to me with a hope that is well-founded, a hope in that the promises that I have made to you, that you will have the ability to do your part to fulfill them, because I'm God and I cannot lie. This is our holy hope. Come to me with charity. He doesn't need anything. He's God. He doesn't need our charity. Come to me with the charity that I have infused into you at your baptism. And in that charity, I want to see you doing good for others. I want to see you self-consciously and selflessly providing for others. This is what I want to see. Come to me like that, and I will give you rest. You can't outdo me. You can't do enough for other people. But if you do good for them like I do good for you, I will refresh you in any burden that may put on you. Come to me with devotion. Be devoted to me. Not come to me with devotion on Sunday or when you're saying a rosary. Come to me with devotion every minute of your life. Always be devoted to me. Come to me with devotion when family, for most people, would take precedence. Come to me with devotion when someone is offended by what you say about me, or they're offended that you have started to spend more and more time with me. Come to me with devotion and piety, holiness. This is how we come to him. Again, not just physically show up on Sundays. That's true. Our churches are filled with people like that, and they live accordingly like the world. He wants us to come to him with those graces that he has provided for us. And is it only a select few people? I mean, this is the gospel. Is it a select few people? No. Come to me, you who have all the... Come unto me, all you that labor and are burdened. Actually, in the burden sounds much better than are weary, because it gives a connotation. And actually, in the Syriac English translation of the Bible, it is, come unto me, all ye that labor and bear burdens. It gives us really kind of a more of an understanding of what, burdened with this. It sounds kind of abstract. But when we think about who bear burdens, what are the burdens that I bear? What are the burdens that, is it physical? Am I fatigued and depressed because of sin, because of circumstances of life, because of both. Being fatigued and depressed by these things is how the world approaches them. Having watched, I don't watch a whole lot of TV, and I can understand, you can't watch a set of commercials anymore where there's not a couple drugs and a couple, they're generally psychotropic drugs that, fix this depression, fix this bipolar. I watched one the other day. I looked up, bipolar. Bipolar 1 and bipolar 2. How many bipolars? I don't know, and I'm just saying. There's a lot of people out there that are obviously depressed and fatigued by circumstances. But chemicals aren't going to do a thing for you. They are going to mask the symptoms. They will mask the symptoms. They do not fix anything. Jesus Christ refreshes us. He strengthens us through these burdens of sin and life. He's there for us. He will refresh you. Notice it doesn't say, "And come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will take them off of you. I will fix them." No, I will refresh you to deal with them. I will strengthen you to deal with them. And so many people look at that as an abstraction, some ethereal claim that's made by Almighty God. No, it's not. I mean, there are objective things that we have that if we use them, that's the active part. If we use them, if we apply them to our lives, then they will work at refreshing us. And they're not of our own making. His reassuring words of Scripture. Every time I talk about Scripture, I'm always pointing that whole thing, I'm just not much of a Bible reader, or I don't have time to do this. Then you don't know his reassuring words. Well, I read it once. Well, okay, I can't remember what somebody said to me an hour ago. God speaks to us. They're reassuring words for us, like these that we read from the gospel. I got to give the Anglican patrimony something as a credit, because there's comfort of word. If you hear this every single week or every time you go to Mass, if you hear that every time you go to Mass, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will refresh you." If you hear that every time you come to Mass, all of a sudden when something bad, the comfortable words, think of the comfy words. Yeah, he will refresh us. His reassuring words, the sacraments, first and foremost, the graces that he pours out in our lives, if we apply them to our lives. I think the illustrative words that they use when graces are poured out upon us. You get this picture of like water coming down all over you. If you wear a wetsuit, it ain't going to work. Graces could be poured all over you, and you're not going to get a little bit wet. You're not going to get wet. So what is that wetsuit? That's our stiff-arming God's graces. Well, I haven't been to confession in 5 years. I mean, that's not a thing that I have to worry about generally around here. But I mean, I do have people that show up here that tell me things like that. You get the doozy every now and then. Like, I think the best one thus far for me is, "Forgive me, Father, I've said it's been 43 years since my last confession." That's a long time. And you expect it, God's trying to pour his graces out on you. But if you haven't gone to confession within the last calendar year, you're not going to get wet. The graces are not going to touch you. This is what we receive from God. And then the consolations of life. You are dealing with something in this world and you're depressed and fatigued over it. And, all of a sudden you hear something in a homily, or you read a portion of Scripture, or you're saying your rosary, and there's just that maybe brief kind of just feeling better about something. It's like when you go to bed at night. You ever notice that? When you're fretting over something, night is so horrible. Night is evil. You worry about things. And then you wake up the next morning, and it just doesn't feel that bad. And that's really for everybody, but You think about that. The same thing occurs here. Even little consolations, and even if they're far and few between, they help us out. They are refreshing to us, but we have to have our eyes open to them. Why did I feel better this day? Why did I, you know, this is why, you know, like I said, we always feel better in the morning. That's why the, you know, our Lord is referred to in a lot of places as the Son of Righteousness. And it's not S-O-N, it's S-U-N of righteousness, because he is the light of the world. You can't help but to feel better when there's light. Like I said, this is the message that as God presents himself, that I'm God and you should be afraid of me, but I'm there for you. The first reading today from Isaiah 40. To whom will you compare me? Asked God. It's unfortunate. We always try to compare him to everybody. It's usually ourselves. That's where you get this whole, my God is a loving God. Why? Why are you saying that? Because you have formed an idol in your own mind of God who does things the way you think they should be done, as opposed to him. And this is why. To whom will you compare me? You can't. Can't compare him to anything. It doesn't happen. The one who created, because Isaiah 40 comes, a lot of the stuff that you didn't hear read today comes before. He just emphasizes being the creator of the universe and what he does in this universe and how he rules everything and puts everything in order and runs everything. But then he starts talking about, lift up your eyes. What is that? But very churchy. Look at me. To whom will you compare me? But look at me. My dad used to say that to me when I was in trouble. Look at me when I'm talking to you. They go, why? Because you're in trouble. You're hanging your head, looking all dejected. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Lift up your eyes. We hear that matter. Lift up your hearts. When do we say that? Right before we come into God's presence in the Eucharist. Lift up your hearts. You know, we went through a study of the Mass in adult form. Lift up your hearts. Stop thinking about things in this world right now. That's a command. Lift up your hearts. I know you've been sitting here praying about this and that and the other thing and your sickness and somebody who died and all these troubles that you got and everything, but lift up your hearts. Right now, you're getting ready to receive me. And receiving me is more important than all the trash that you got going on right now. Lift up your hearts. This is where we get these kind of things. Our Lord, lift up your eyes. And then he starts saying, this one who is so almighty and says, lift up your eyes, look at me. Then he, what does he say? And you better keep straight. That was what my dad used to say. But the Lord says, he gives power to the faint. Youthful people shall faint and be weary, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. It doesn't matter if they're 8 days old or 108 years old. It doesn't matter what your physical condition is. Youthful and strong people will become faint and weary. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Does it say he will make them strong like a youthful? No, it doesn't. It says he will renew their strength to be able to deal with whatever they're dealing with. You know, today, the memorial, St. Lucy. You know, you look what he did for the woman. And I mean, she was very, very young. And I mean, she's confronted with the tumultuous things in life. Her mom is sick. Obviously something that she thought her mom was going to die. So what is it? St. Lucy goes to the shrine of St. Agatha to ask her intercession and actually gets a vision of St. Agatha. In the breviary, it's Agatha looks at her and says, O Virgin Lucy, why do you ask me for what you yourself can procure for your mother at once? St. Agatha is letting St. Lucy know that, yeah, I've run my course, I finished the race, and yes, because she wouldn't appear to her if it wasn't a benefit, but she said, at the end of the day, you know, you're in a state of grace. You're properly disposed. Ask God for this yourself. You know, this is a little bit of a lesson to us in our Catholic faith. We have the communion of saints, but don't look to them all the time to fix your problems. Use them to help you out while the Lord refreshes you. And you use his graces. Because after that happened, then Lucy gets put on her trial, and she faced things that would make the vast majority of very tough guys, I was going to say some, cringe, and she faced it as a young girl. Why? Because the Lord refreshed her. The Lord refreshed her when they threatened her virginity. The Lord refreshed her when they set a fire around her and it went out. And then when she got stabbed through the throat, the Lord refreshed her until she died. She was able to maintain her faith. This is that refreshment in a very real sense. So this whole refreshment, this renewal thing that our Lord promises us from the Old Testament into the New Testament. But again, in the New Testament, we know who it is. In the Old Testament, it's just God as a transcendent being. When our Lord Jesus Christ says that in Matthew chapter 11, it's, you're looking at me. You're looking at me. I'm going to renew you, and it's going to be an ongoing thing. This is why we have a confessional. This is why we have the Eucharist. These things are ongoing to refresh us continually. Why are we just so satisfied all the time? How many people do you know in the faith that I'm satisfied with this, where I am in my faith? Well, you should start coming to, at least maybe a daily mass every now and then. I go on Sunday. That's good with that. Or they confront people who start deepening their faith and maybe going somewhere else because they deepen their faith. I can't believe you're hanging over there with those rigid fanatics and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because they're satisfied. This is good enough. This is good enough. No, it's not. No, it is not. St. Jose Maria Escriva, love the guy. He's so succinct. And sometimes he's so, he can kind of twist it a little bit. He's talking about our Lord in Isaiah, talking about you will rise up like the wings of eagles. And notice he doesn't say the wings of birds. That would be okay. Oh, wings of birds, like, fly around. The wings of eagles. Because not all birds are equal, right? St. Jose Maria Escriva, this is a quote from The Way, don't flutter around like a farmyard bird when you can soar like an eagle. Those people who are satisfied with what they're a farmyard bird. It's around in, farmer, but they can't even fly, most of them. They just flap their wings and kind of scoot, a couple feet off the ground and hit the dirt, make a lot of noise. Why not be an eagle? Why is everybody sad, particularly when it comes to your faith? I'm satisfied with that. I'm satisfied with the people I always talk about coming up. I've been a Catholic 60 years. I've never heard that. Man, that should really make you think, shouldn't it? I'm satisfied with that. Why? They don't know any better. Why is it when people don't know any better that they're satisfied with that? We can't have that. The Lord promises us so much more. So never be satisfied where you are in your faith. No one should. The Pope shouldn't be satisfied with where he is. No bishop or cardinal should be satisfied with where they are. There should always be a deepening of our faith. It's too broad and too deep to plumb the depths. So every day we should be deepening our faith and renewing, because our Lord's waiting there to do it for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.